Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
Spirit of God hovers over the waters of creation like a dove. The dove appears as a sign at baptism, and Jesus asked the disciples to be sent out, innocent as doves, as they become messengers of good news. And later, this will happen again. The time when the church is born, they are sent out, this time speaking in different languages, but with those same words. Why the dove? The dove appears in our scripture when something has ended and something new is beginning. When you leave home and you head out into unfamiliar territory, the landscape changes, your name may change, the soundtrack changes. For me, newly ordained as a baby minister, one of those times was when I was sent by the church to a specific community to serve, and I received the gift of two sister churches just outside of Woodstock, Ontario, the dairy capital of Canada. And oh boy, did they love music, but not the music that I knew. Honky-tonk, old country, anything with a bit of twang. They even had their own hymn sing book that we use before church with all of their favorites. And one of those spent 10 weeks in 1960 at the top of the charts, thanks to Ferlin Husky. And I wonder if you know it. Maybe it feels, maybe the words will help. How about this? We'll start again, Jay. I'll do it with you. Here we go. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, from above, from above. On the wings of a dove. Right. Some of you, it makes your heart sing. Others, you are unsure why it spent 10 weeks at the top. But when the words of scripture, because there's a whole verse about Noah, but we don't have time to sing it through. When the words of scripture meet a heartfelt melody with gospel grace, it can become a message of divine comfort. For some, an anthem of faith. Even today, it still spreads hope like a dove in flight. It may not be your song, but the image of the dove keeps finding us. Iconic, isn't it? A white dove in mid-flight, the quiet survivor, worldwide symbol of hope for peace. From life celebrations to anti-war protests, a dove often with a peace of olive branch in its beak, returning to Noah, signaling new life, a new beginning, a sign of reconciliation, of peace with God. For Muslims, doves hold a special significance because they assisted the Prophet Muhammad. And in some indigenous traditions, the dove was a protector of warriors. For the Aztecs, the dove symbolized love. They do mate for life. Female doves typically lay two eggs at a time, and they are extremely intelligent. Do you know that we have learned they can distinguish between the difference between a Van Gogh painting and a Chagall painting? That doves can recognize the entire alphabet letter by letter. They live on every continent except Antarctica, and they beat their wings up to 10 times per second and can go 16 hours of flight without a rest. How good is our Creator? But do you know that a dove is really just a pigeon? A pigeon from the French, pigeon. Dove is the English word. They're part of the Colombidae family, part of God's creation, where there are 300 types of doves and pigeons. We tend to call the smaller, prettier ones doves and the bulky, scrappier ones pigeons. They're the same bird, no lie. Most likely gray with an iridescent green and violet neck, an ordinary pigeon. As I walked here this morning, one lighted on the hydro wire above me just a few blocks away. An ordinary pigeon. The pigeon I just described to you is called a rock dove, as it's called in Palestine. It was very common in biblical times. In fact, there's archaeological evidence that suggests that the dove was connected and domesticated with humans for at least 3,000 years, being raised to eat, race, sacrifice, and carry messages. It is a long time we have a history with the dove. How's that, O pigeon, for a symbol of the Holy Spirit? Suddenly, the Holy Spirit isn't this rare, pristine symbol of peace. She's fluttering above a sidewalk in downtown Toronto. She's cooing from a rafter in a barn, maybe even leaving droppings on your shoulder. And yet, she is still sacred. In the Bible, doves were commonly used in sacrifices because they were abundant and accessible. And today, pigeons are still everywhere. In fact, pigeons want to be close to us. Many other birds avoid humans, but when you go downtown, you get off the GO train or the subway, and you will find pigeons. They are where we are, in some of the worst places we have made, our neglected projects and abandoned buildings, and some of the best, art museums, parks, Rome's piazzas. They won't leave us alone. Again, how is that for a symbol of the Holy Spirit? You see, the idea that the Holy Spirit is robust and ordinary and common seems a little bit more to me like God, don't you think? Jesus promises that God will not be found up there, but that the Spirit will be among the disciples. Come among them and remain with them, because God is not absent. God is not rare or far away. God is not confined to mountaintop moments or baptism moments or weddings or funerals. The Spirit has a habit of appearing through the overlooked things we underestimate. Let us not misunderstand what holy looks like. The Spirit is not a porcelain figure on a shelf. She's a movement with wings and dust and cooing and courage. And she is here. She has been here. I want you to think of a messenger pigeon now, pigeons who have served empires. From Egyptians to Romans to the current military, pigeons carried stock market updates before phones. They delivered airmail between islands in New Zealand. They weren't fancy, but they were faithful. I love the image of a homing pigeon flying through the mess of our world, messages strapped to her tiny legs. God doesn't always come to us in thunder or grandeur. Sometimes the Spirit comes as a pigeon, persistent, ordinary, unglamorous, and yet deeply holy. My friend Dan tells a childhood story about when his grandfather would load him and his brother into an old car along with several large crates of pigeons in the back. Then they would drive beyond town and keep driving and driving until eventually they would stop somewhere in the countryside and release the birds. And every single time, the three of them would climb back into the car and head home. And the pigeons, they would beat them there. They'd already be back in the shed waiting for them, almost looking annoyed as if to say, "What took you so long?" That's part of what makes pigeons such a beautiful image for the Spirit of God. Because no matter how far we go, no matter what new thing arrives into our lives or what journey we set out on, the Spirit keeps arriving home before we do. The Holy Spirit will always find its way back to us. Ordinary people, ordinary homes, ordinary lives. On a day like today, we feel the Spirit closer because we have the gift of Mackay's new presence to the world. And look out, world, for the Air Jordans are on and he is ready to run. In fact, it seems, as author Debbie Blue in her book Consider the Birds writes, fitting that we do not limit the Spirit of God to something dainty and white. After all, Genesis tells us that we are made of dirt. The Spirit hovered over the chaos, over the waters of creation, not in detachment, but in presence. When you love something, someone, you are prepared to get down in the mud with them, or to teach them to swim, or to fly. The Spirit landed on Jesus, the human one, the one who walked everywhere, whose feet were dirty, who didn't avoid mess but entered it fully, the one who baptized everyone. Alongside sinners, he preached and spoke. He touched lepers and he sat with those that no one else would. Isn't that the kind of Holy Spirit we want to show up when our children or our elders feel alone? The Spirit of God is not separate from our human experience. Just as God did in Jesus, love enters fully into the embodiment of ordinary human life. We call it a silent night, but we know that it wasn't. We know there were diapers and there was hay. We know that life gets complicated. And Jesus, he went where others said it was unclean. And he called us to embrace vulnerability and suffering and love. And when we hear those words of scripture about being worthy, the only definition of worthy that landed for him was, were you listening? Were you open? Was it your time to hear this call? The Holy Spirit, well, she's in the sweat and the sweetness, the confusion and the joy, the nausea and the calm waters of our lives. It is a miracle that baptism families make it here on time. We do not know what happens in the late nights with children. We are grateful. And maybe that's why Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Because he was sending them into a harsh world, not as warriors, but as peace bringers, not with weapons, but with healing and grace. With no suitcase, they went. Sending them out as Noah first sent out the dove out of the ark over the floodwaters to find a sign of new life. It is easy to preach this sermon when the flowers are just coming to life, when the color of the trees is filling Etobicoke. But even more than that, it's easy to proclaim this good news because in the same way today, we are being sent out to be messengers of good news. Some of us need diaper bags and snacks and a number of things for the road, including a car seat. Others of us are walking without much of what we used to have, just as we are. With our experience, our innocence, our fragility, our grief, our doubt, and our imperfection, we do not have to search for God in the spectacular or only come close in baptism, because God is already there. In the ordinary of the water in your tap, God meets us in the water of a warm shower after a long day. God meets us season by season. Look around, friends. Do not miss it. Notice that holiness is all around us and that the Spirit is already fluttering beside you in this ordinary, beautiful, complicated life. Ordinary meals, ordinary conversations, ordinary acts of care, a hand held at a hospital bedside, a casserole left quietly at a neighbor's door, a phone call on a cell phone in church, a child asking questions when you don't have the answers, a pigeon pecking beside us at a bus stop, and the murmur of a dove song. May we notice her more often, not just as a dove, but a pigeon, not just in the cathedral or the temples or the sanctuary, but in the campsite and the subway station and the parking lot.
May we move with her, for she is all powerful. We move not only upward, but outward and inward and toward one another and toward creation. And sometimes we run after her like a little one chasing a bird, toward God's goodness, toward God's unconditional grace, towards home. I have not mastered my bird calls, but I'm grateful for Anna and for artists and musicians who give us words about what it means to notice the Spirit of God and to follow in Christ's way. I invite you to sing now, Voices United 205.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.